I went to a theater 6 times. Different things happening in my body. The rapture was prophesied for the year 2000, if you remember.
Yes.
Same as prophesied here. So in the year 99, other credible men and women of God, some of you will know them, said, no, the Lord said, indeed, Jesus is returning in the year 2000. And we look back and say, were they false prophets? I don't think they were. So Satan saw that, oh no, we are now in the last of the last days. Now I must intensify. That's when Satanism was now thrive on in churches. This earth, as we know, will be rolled up. Yeah. The heaven will be rolled up. There'll be a new ecosystem introduced. And there'll be no sun, for the Lord, Ashaya, will be our sun and our shield. Now, you may not know this, but in every continent, it's a joke on YouTube, but it's real. Every continent, there's someone, at least one person, who claims to be Jesus. Every continent of the world, you know, Google it. We take it as a joke. Like,
and because of social media, we know about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because these videos come up on your timeline and they trend. So now we know.
I've been through the most. Been through the most.
Hola there, Sand fam. Welcome to another episode of I've Been Through the Most podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It's going to be an interesting one, exciting one, informative one. I'm very excited about it. Make sure you join the family by simply subscribing. It's absolutely free to join the Sand Fam family. We're on the road to 500K subscribers. Can I get a God has been good. He's so faithful, right? So make sure that you join the family. Also, do comment down below on this episode. We really want to hear what you have to say. You can also send us an email, okay? We're receiving a lot of emails.
A lot of emails.
We do go through all of them, although we cannot respond to all of them, but we definitely do read them. So your feedback, your response is very critical to us. We are also available on our different social media platforms. Please go and give us a like and a follow on there too, please.
Yes. So the following guest, right, received an email. It's like an email on behalf of someone.
Yeah,
basically.
Like a referral.
Like a referral. I think it's actually one of the viewers that sent an email and said, listen, there is this powerhouse lady and I think she can clarify a few things for you guys. And I would like you to invite her, then CC her on the email.
Yes.
I think it's the first something like that happens.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, we got in touch with her and we thought, yes, why not? Please come onto the platform. She is a prophet, a woman of God, and today she is gracing us. Prophet Kanye, welcome.
Thank you so much. So good to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you said, very weird that somebody wrote on my behalf.
Yeah.
But I mean, it must be a divine appointment. We
Come
trust
on.
The Lord to really speak today. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you just introduce yourself to our audience for those who don't know you?
Sure.
A brief background of where you come from, where you grew up, and you know, what makes this woman of God sit here today?
Oh, my word. Okay, so my name is Kanye Zungu. I'm from Marysburg, which is in KZN, as you know. Yeah. Yeah, so I came to Joburg to work to do my articles. I'm actually an admitted attorney. I'm a managing director of my own legal and business development consultancy firm.
Sure.
And yeah, so I came in to do articles as a young lawyer. I remember I came with my mom's old Corolla shame. It broke down on my first day. You can imagine the drama. But you know, God has been good. He's raised me in the marketplace. I've been in Joburg, you know, when I was 26. I was one of the youngest legal mining executives in the country.
Wow.
So the Lord really used me in that space by his grace, but it has not been easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most challenging time in my life came when now I had to transition into the office of the prophet.
Mm.
Around 2021, my God.
Sure.
That's when I could speak the whole hour about it, but just to touch a few things that transpired that time. I went to a theater 6 times. Different things happening in my body from, you know, removing off. There was, at some point, I had a clot in my nose. I had clots on my feet, removing off appendix, different things, 6 times in theater 1 year. I became so sick. At some point, I was on a wheelchair, right?
Sure.
And this happens after now I was called the corporate, you know, pit bull, very popular in that Christian marketplace space, making a lot of money. COVID came, it hit. Unfortunately, the company I worked for closed down. My car was repossessed. I had a nice sports car, vroom, vroom.
Yes.
You know, I was popular on social media at the time as this young Christian lady who preaches, but is also doing these great things in the marketplace. It all vanished. It all went down, you know, and the savings that I had, I finished them at a popular private hospital because I had to pay for all this. I was just sick the whole year until my medical aide said we are bailing. I had to pay for everything cash, even those investments depleted eventually, and I was left with nothing, right? And what I was left with, though, is an immobility, and I could not walk, right? I remember the hospital calling my mom and saying, please, you know, we've tried to accommodate. They were quite accommodating. I hadn't paid for like a month, and at some point I was in the intensive care. So they said, we've tried, you know, medical aid obviously has rejected her. She's been paying, you guys have been paying cash for some weeks now. Unfortunately, you need to take her home. Make her as comfortable as possible. So I went home.
And you don't want to hear those words.
No, you don't want to hear those words. And I'm like, God, I'm a woman of God. I've been preaching, running crusades for you at the time. So I was under my pastor. He went to be with the Lord. He actually also passed on the same year. So he was my strength, my pillar. So he died on the 1st of January of that year. And from there, I got sick. And at the time, obviously, the church was looking to me to say, and another lady to say, will you guys step up? But I got so sick, you see. So it was a tough time. But at that moment, I remember there's a time I thought I was dying. And I said, Lord, should I give up? Is this it? And he said, no, I'm calling you as an apostle to the nations. Now ministry begins. And remember now, for almost a decade, I was already preaching, already running crusades in the villages. I love villages. And I was already doing, you know, a few things for the Lord. And I'm like, now ministry starts. What have I been doing? And from that moment, the Lord availed such a grace that was, I remember even the gifts of the Spirit, especially the power gifts of the Spirit's healings, the gifts of healings, it was availed. I'd be like, what's going on? I'm laying hands on people, they're being well. And something would say, cast out that demon, and I would. And I'd be like, whoa. You know, at that time, I was a faith preacher, so I don't believe in those things. I know they exist, but I mean in abstract. So the Lord almost redefined who I am. Even my character, it was as though he's recalibrating me. And by God's grace, I mean, he's a restorer. He has restored me. But that's really, I can say, was the defining moment in my life when I knew that, no, now it's time for serious business with the Lord. Because previously, right, it was marketplace. Then on weekends, I ran business for the Lord. Now I understand the kingdom mandate that every day of your life, you must be out to run an errand for God. And that's what I do. I run errands for God. I'm now in full-time ministry. However, as I said, I do have a legal consultancy firm. And that's how, obviously, the Lord uses that firm just as a raven to make sure I have more than enough. I mean, we run outreaches now. We've been to Lesotho, Malawi, just running outreaches, preaching the gospel, obviously bringing help and aid as well, whether it's food, boreholes, and whatever else various communities around the world need. So the Lord is a restorer, but you need to be ready to run his errands.
Yes, that's it. I love it. Running God's errand.
Running God's errand.
I'm here for it. So I believe you're here for another errand today.
I'm here for another errand.
For the Lord, you know, a topic that's really been in Millicent's word trending. You know, one that people say it's urgent, it's imminent. These are the words that we've been hearing continuously and consistency. And I think as the body of Christ, and for those who are called in the fivefold ministry, there's a huge responsibility. And there's a cry for clarity, for, you know, just bringing the word forth to be more clearer for people. And so we want to hear what you have prepared today so you can just jump into it.
Okay, I'll go straight into it. You know, the Bible in Acts chapter 42, verse 2 says the earlier church, now, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. And the word devoted in the Zulu Bible is the word ukubekezela, meaning to tarry. So whenever you are being taught the word, it's tiring. Some will sleep. You'll remember in Acts, a young man named Eutychus slept and fell from the third floor as Paul was teaching. Whenever you want to build a church, and now I just don't mean a local church, I mean the body of Christ, there must be teachings. There must be apostolic teachings that set order. There must be teachings that are precise. They take long, but we'll be very brief today. Don't worry, it'll be an introduction. Maybe you guys must email and say part two.
Part two already, please.
So I just, you know, there's been a lot of hoo-ha surrounding the 23rd and the 24th of September. And for some time, you know, as the Lord grants me grace, you know, I understand, of course, in the things of the Lord, there are senior men and women of God that have been addressing this as well. I cannot esteem myself as a voice in South Africa that must speak, but where the Lord has told me to speak, I have, concerning the rapture. I know there's been a craze that some people, you know, say the Lord has appeared and told them a date, right? That this is when the rapture should be. And unfortunately, the reason we do need to step in and talk about these things, people have made life decisions concerning those voices that said, hey, guys, everything will be wrapped up by the 23rd, right? People have sold their houses. I've seen somebody on social media. They sold their house. They squandered all their, they were a teacher for so many years. They were retired, squandered all their, you know, their retirement, their pension based on that. And it's now the, what, the 20th of October, or we're in October, and it hasn't happened. What happens to that mom? Her pension is squandered. Remember, she heard a voice and she believed it was a credible Christian voice and she acted on that voice. So these are the topics we need to handle with care and we need to address so long as the Lord grants us grace so that we do not fall into perdition, we do not fall into heresy as a church, and we do not, because what happens is the world is watching us and now we are being mocked.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you cannot say now to someone, come to the Lord. And they'll say, but you guys said you are leaving us. Oh, you are still here. Now I must come. You understand the complexity. Yeah. So that's why I am here. But I have to, you know, make it clear that, guys, I'm not a voice at all. Over there are men and women over this country that are voices. And it's very clear. We have a lot of young lions out there on Facebook purporting to be voices. Praise be to God. Yeah. So we need to understand the times. If you're going to talk about rapture, you must understand the times. The Bible, I believe it's in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, 32. It says, of the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. And all their brethren were at their command. Now, look at these two things that flow from understanding the times. It says the sons of Issachar understood the times. Then one, they knew what Israel ought to do. And two, all their brethren were at their command. It means when you are a believer in this modern age that understands the time, there are those two things that happen. You know what to do. You have clarity. You have direction. There's no confusion.
There's no confusion.
But two, all their brethren were at their command, meaning you reign. You have dominion.
Yes.
Remember, the church is the only trusted institution that God placed in this realm to speak for him, to dominate. People, government should be coming to us for answers.
That's it.
Because we should be the people who understand the times, who know what to do. And therefore, everybody comes to say, please, command us. What should we do as government? What is the Lord saying concerning these times? So when there's a confusion like this in the body of Christ, the Lord is not happy because there's no government official, there is no parliamentary delegate that's going to say, church, direct me, when we ourselves are confused. Right. And we are fighting. I know now people are mocking those gentlemen and women who said, you know, the rapture is happening in September. This is not a time to mock. It's a time to clarify using scripture. Yeah. So I love scripture in any given moment, even at church. I can teach using 60 scriptures or more. I live by scripture because the Lord has given us everything we need in scripture.
In the word.
So we need to look at that. So understanding the times, we need to know which time we're in. We are in a season called the end times.
Yes.
We are not in a season called the last days, but we are in a season called the end times. And let me explain the difference, all right?
Yes, please.
And, you know, I should have said, please, you know, bring your Bible. But if you are watching at home, bring your Bible because
we're gonna
go through scripture to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, you'll recall.
Yes. Yeah.
And as they were babbling in tongues, the people who were there at the festival heard them and said, these believers are drunk. You remember? Then Peter comes up and he says, these are not drunk, but this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that in the last days, I, God, will pour out my spirit. So the last days begin at that moment. You see, let me give you a scriptural reference there.
That's Joel 2, ne?
Yes, yes. So Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Maybe if I can just read it quickly, just so the viewer can also read. That's when the end times began. I know, sorry, the last days began. I know there's just talking, oh, no, we're in the last days. No, that began, guys, in the book of Acts already 2,000 years ago. I'm taking now through the timeline so we can get to the rapture. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. Because, you know, the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That freedom isn't just being set free from something, but it's also being launched into something greater. By revelation, Paul says, I went up by revelation in the book of Galatians. Revelation takes you up. And I feel there's a promotion on an elevation
whoever's listening, as they receive this revelation of scripture, there's an elevation that is going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, so Acts chapter 2 from verse 14. Now the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit has fallen down. Believers are babbling in tongues. Some are saying, no, these ones are drunk. Listen to Peter's defense. Verse 14, Acts 2, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, meaning it was 9 a.m. Verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall dream dreams, your old men your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Okay? So verse 17 there, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Says God,
so when that was being manifested, it was clearly stating that the last days have come.
Yes. Whenever there's a shift in an era, not a season, but an era, there is a big event. So when the Lord was introducing the era of the last days, that's when the Holy Spirit fell.
Feast of Pentecost.
Yes, at the Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Because it's an era. So when an era comes and it's a new era, so to speak. By the way, an era is a season in heaven.
Oh.
Okay, so seasons here on earth, we know the seasons. So long as the earth remains, you know, there's heat, there's cold, and of course there's now the autumn and that we've put in there. Right. There are spiritual seasons, but those govern the earth. Remember, heaven is not governed by the earthly calendar. So they work in eras. We work in seasons. But let me not get lost in there.
I'm like, yay.
Okay. Let me not get lost there. So in the book of Acts, that's Peter was proclaiming, guys, we have reached the last days. Hello. Okay. Right. So it was the last days for 2,000 years until year 1999. Now, I believe you ladies are old enough. I don't know how old you are, but you'll remember there was a craze that in the year 2000.
The millennium.
Yes. It's the end. You will remember, and some viewers were old enough. Now, some of your viewers were born in 2003. They don't know what we're talking about. They came after. But you will recall that there was, and I was young myself, there was a craze that, you know, the world is ending. Jesus is coming, right? What was happening there? Those people there were not, what was happening from the year 2000 was what is called the last of the last days. Okay, it was not that, I know, the rapture was prophesied for the year 2000, if you remember.
Yes.
Same as it's prophesied here. So when a person speaks forth a word or speaks or proclaims forth a word, they purport it from God. It's either one of two things. Either they were deceived by another spirit, a demonic spirit. You know, there's a religious sect in KZN. They were all white, one of the biggest religious sects in Africa. Their man of God was actually the founder of the church, if I can even call it a church, the founder of that sect, went up a mountain praying to the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus. But a deceiving spirit came and said, Jesus is the savior for white people. You will be the savior for black people. He came down, he told the black people there, and even today, you probably know, you'll read in between the lines, that sect of the Zulus there, you see. So when a person brings forth a word, and this is not a liar, of course, you see the person's really convicted. It's either they were deceived or they were not deceived, but they didn't say clearly. Remember in Mark chapter 8, Jesus prays for a blind man. And the blind man says, I see people, but it's like they are trees. And Jesus says, no, you can't go out there because now you're a danger if you can see, but not clearly. And he puts mud and prays for him again until he sees. Now, imagine the implications. Let's take it to the spirituals. This man says, I can see Jesus, but I see people as trees. If Jesus said, it's okay, go speak, go now, you are fine. Without clear vision, he would have taken an axe and started slaying people thinking it's trees. Harming people. Because when you don't have clear vision in the spirit, you harm people. So that is what has happened to these people who have said, no, on the 23rd, this is happening. It's either they were deceived or I believe that the message
wasn't clear.
The message wasn't clarified. Okay. Mm-hmm. Same way, you know, they are now, that they're taking an axe almost, you know, slaying, thinking these are trees, you see. Jesus said, no, you can't go there until you are completely healed. Because clarity of vision is imperative when you get into the prophetic realm. So in the year 99, other credible men and women of God, some of you will know them, said, no, the Lord said, indeed, Jesus is returning in the year 2000. And we look back and say, were they false prophets? I don't think they were. And I don't think they were deceived. But what they were seeing in the spirit is that there's a new era, you see. So they would probably see maybe a vision of they see the planet Earth and it's like it's being folded or something. Okay. Or and they would feel, oh, there's a movement. Clearly Jesus is returning. But actually what was being communicated by the vibrations of Zion was that now a new era has come. Remember that era of the last days came from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And now in the year 1999, a new era was coming from the year 2000. And that era lasted only 20 years, from the year 2000 to 2019, entering 2020.
Okay. So it's the interpretation.
It's the interpretation
of yes, the vision of that the that's correct
that they misunderstand that they deceived or the misinterpretation. Remember, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 17, he says to the church in Ephesus, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." All right. And I pray that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't have revelation only without wisdom, because revelation helps you to see. Wisdom helps you to interpret. But you also can't have wisdom without revelation, because you'll be able to interpret, but you don't see anything to interpret. So Paul says, as a church, you must have both wisdom and revelation. So some of these men and women of God, credible people, unfortunately only have the spirit of revelation, but no wisdom. Some have wisdom, but no revelation. That's why they will tell you that some will say, no, Jesus has already returned, and they'll misinterpret scripture because they're applying their own wisdom, but no revelation. So you need both, right? So from the year 2000, we entered what is called the last of the last days. And if you recall, from the year 2000, Satan intensified his visibility, he became bold. Remember in Revelation chapter 12, it says Satan is full of wrath because he knows his time is short on earth. So Satan saw that, oh no, we are now in the last of the last days. Now I must intensify. That's when Satanism was now thrive in churches. I remember being young and in churches, if people comes with a black, you know, attire, they say, oh, Satanist, because Satan just started being bold. Even music videos. In the late 1990s, initially, you could be video vixens. We could be video vixens dressed like this, okay? Mm. But from year 2000, you know, clothes went shorter. You know, we just cut open our clothes. Even the music, you couldn't swear on national TV. It was illegal, right? But from year 2000, Satan intensified. Everything and all of permitted. A sudden, everything was permitted. All of a sudden, you can swear on TV. All of a sudden, even the music has now vulgar, has become perverted, right? Because Satan said, no, I can't now, I have to be bold. It's now a new era. We are literally approaching the end times, which is where we are now. I'll tell you now why Satan is scared of these times we're in. So Satan knew, I have to be bold. Let me quickly come in. So you'll recall, if you go back from that year 2000, you know, the music video were more perverse language on music and all of that. Satanists were out on a rampage against the church. It was hectic. Now, from year 2020, that era ended in 2019. From year 2020 to 2024, what is called the bridge season between the last of the last days and the end times, which is what we've entered now in 2025. Now, remember, I said to you, whenever God announces an era, it shakes up things.
Right.
In the book of Acts, when the last days entered, there was a shaking where the Holy Spirit fell. Yeah. When it was now time for the last of, when it was now time for the last of the last days, year 2000, again, there was a shaking politically, socially, Satan, things became perverse. Then in 2020, to introduce the era, which is the bridge, you see, that's when COVID came. So COVID-19 wasn't a shock if you had revelation and wisdom, because it's now a new era. And so now something has to happen to shake the world to introduce the era. Okay, that's why between 2020 and 2024, COVID hits. Economically, there was a decline, you know, famines. Of course, we are now just recovering. Now, what is pivotal about September 2025?
Yeah.
The Feast of the Trumpet. That's why I'm saying some of these people did see right, but their interpretation was wrong. It's the announcement of the season called the end times. So they saw that there is a movement in the spirit, but they didn't understand it correctly. Or they were deceived.
So how long are these eras? Is it like 4 years, 5 years?
So God...
Or it doesn't matter. It's just from 1999 to 2000 and then 2000 to 2024?
No, so...
Oh, 2022. To 2024, it's been 4 years.
Yes.
Oh, so there's no time to it.
There isn't a time to it. Because you can imagine from the book of Acts till 1999, that's like 2,000 years, you see. Then from, but they're getting shorter
if you realize. Mm-hmm. 2000 years to 2000, from 2000 to 2020 is 20 years.
2020 to 2025,
yes, you see, now it's like, what, 4 or 5 years. So it's getting shorter. But what we have entered into, and again, these things we speak, you must, there must be, there is no vision a man can get that cannot be corroborated by scripture. Any vision outside of scripture, we need to question it as its source being originating from a deceiver. Because the Lord won't speak outside of his word. You see, Paul says to the church, I can't believe, is it the Colossian church? I think it's the Galatian church. He says, even if angels come and they minister another different gospel,
yes, which if they rebuke them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even if I come as Paul and I change my story, rebuke me, forget me. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because everything must be used in the lenses of scripture. Any person who exalts their vision over sound doctrine, we need to stop immediately. Now, I've heard some of these people who have come with these visions, and I've listened carefully. None of them pull out the Bible and say, please, let us travel through the revelation of scripture. They always say, but the Lord said to me, he showed up, he said this in my room. You know, my followers, it's about them. They are exalting their experience over the word of God. And you can't do you know that even when the Lord wanted to orchestrate salvation for us, he couldn't just do it based on the visions of Isaiah and the other prophets. The word, which is Jesus, had to come down and become flesh. That's John chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 14. That in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. God. But in verse 14, the word became flesh, which is Jesus. Yes. And we beheld his glory. And it's through that glory that we are saved. So for God to even do anything on earth, the word must come down.
Yes.
So you can't have a vision that's not rooted in the word, because God himself, he says, I exalt my word above my own name. You understand? He says to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, I believe verse 15, he says that, what do you see, Jeremiah? Jeremiah sees, maybe let's go to that scripture.
Yeah.
Just for the viewer to gain this understanding. I am mindful of time. But it's imperative that we understand these basic tenets. Otherwise, as a church, we will be in confusion. Meanwhile, the world should be in confusion and they should come to us for answers. So look at this, Jeremiah chapter 1, you see? From verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. This is Jeremiah's response.
Yeah.
What do you see? So here's the vision. He says, I see a branch of an almond tree. But verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. Now I am ready to perform my word. So you can't just on your vision be ready to go speak to the people. Jeremiah, verse 11, yes. Jeremiah says, no, now I see an almond tree. God says, okay, now that you see clearly, now I'm ready to perform my word. Now, the next verse, he says, now go to the nations and speak. What has happened is that my colleagues have only seen, but there's no word to back it up. And therefore, that's why I'm saying that sort of, you know, a presentation should be rejected, or not rejected, but questioned by the church. Because God himself, when he wants to work here, he sends forth his word. He wanted to heal the Israelites the other time. They were bitten by snakes. And scripture says he sends his word and healed their disease. When his God word. Wants to work on earth, he uses his word. When we needed to be saved, he sends his word, Christ, the man Christ Jesus. You see, so there's no vision that can go beyond the word. God sends forth his word. So even what I am bringing forth to you, it must be looked through the lenses of scripture. So now we've entered a season, what is called the end times. And the reason, you know, some people have said the rapture will be on September this year is because in September, in those dates, it coincides with the Feast of the Trumpets, the Jewish trumpets.
Yes.
And in Matthew 24, you see Jesus saying there'll be shout of a trumpet.
Yes.
First Thessalonians chapter 1, you see, I want again this trumpet. So they've taken the two and merged them. Okay, which is fine, you see. I believe, so remember that when the Lord moves, when he introduces an era, there is a shaking, but usually that shaking happens in one or more of the Jewish festivals. For instance, the Holy Spirit fell on the Pentecost, that festival, you see. Even in the millennium, when now there was a shaking, Satan became demonic. I believe it was the festival of the harvest, right? So different festivals, so you can't really ignore that Jewish calendar, guys. That's what I'm saying. Let's not, we can't say
something
no.
Something always happens.
Something always. Yeah. And it's not that we are saying, the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's what I mean when I say that. Feast of the Harvest.
Yeah.
But we can't completely ignore it, but we can't be, you know, see in parts and say, okay, because there's a word trumpets there when the Bible says Jesus will return, and this mm-hmm. is the Feast of the Trumpets, hello. Maybe Jesus will return on the Feast of the Trumpets in another year to come. We do not know. But mm-hmm. this is what we know. Jesus, in the book of Matthew 24, tells us what will happen before he comes. And that's what I'm interested to present to you today. So mm-hmm. we've come into a season called the end times, okay? And you can study for reference at home so you understand. I'm just going to give you various books of the Bible to read, but our focus will be Matthew 24, okay? Because this is what Jesus himself says. Yes. The other is prophets, and you can say, maybe these prophets in the Bible, but mm-hmm. this is Jesus, all right? Yeah. So write down Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 12, the book of Revelation, from Revelation 13 up to 21, to also understand, because I know people are saying, oh no, the end of the world. When Jesus comes, it's not the end of the world.
No.
You know, there's still the judgment of the righteous mm-hmm. will then return for the millennial reign with mm-hmm. him for 1,000 years. That's in Revelation chapter 20, from around verse 4 going down. You know, then it will be the war of Armageddon, where Satan will come out of the pit where he was bound, mm-hmm. try fight mm-hmm. with the saints. He'll be defeated, then cast mm-hmm. into the lake of fire. And that takes us to now the judgment of the unrighteous, the great white throne in Revelation 20, where now those who are in hell are brought up and they are judged. Mm. By the way, believers and unbelievers are not going to be judged at the same time, right?
Sure. There's
different judgments.
Yeah.
We appear before what is called the judgment seat of Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You must read it at home.
Yeah.
And the unbelievers are judged before God's great white throne, the Father. So we are judged through Christ, his seat,
yeah.
but they are judged by the Father. The great white throne, in Revelation chapter 20, all right? Then all of them, they will be found not to be written in the book of life. That's what's life. That's what a scripture says. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is what is called the second death in scripture. That is what, whenever you see the word perish means the second death, which is that final condemnation. Hell is not the final destination for them. They will still be brought up, judged, and then thrown into the lake of fire. Yes, of brimstone. And then that is their final. Then for us in Revelation 21, this earth, as we know, will be rolled up.
Yeah.
The heaven will be rolled up. There'll be a new ecosystem introduced. And there'll be no sun, for the Lord, will be our sun and our shield. The Bible says his radiation in Revelation 21 will illuminate the place for us. You see. So there's so much to look forward to. I don't know why you keep saying, come, Lord Jesus. There are so many errands to run for the Lord. But let's go to Matthew 24 to just understand. I just want the viewers to understand now what Jesus said. I've given you a few chapters that you must study to understand, but let us look at what Jesus himself said, right? First of all, Jesus says concerning the times, no one knows. Let's begin there, actually. Let's begin with that piece of scripture. That's in Matthew chapter 24.
The very popular scripture.
The very popular scripture. We must start there. Matthew 24 from verse 36. We must start there. Okay, this is Jesus speaking. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Meaning even Jesus doesn't know. Yet Jesus came and told you. He says, only my Father knows. Okay, then he says, but as the days of Noah were, also will be the coming of the Son of Man. What this means is, if you recall in the book of Genesis, during the days of Noah, the Bible says, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and getting married, marrying people off, getting married.
So life was normal.
Correct, normal. Until Noah entered the boat and closed the door. And then it was not normal. So that's what he means. Nobody knows the hour. We know that. Now, please, Matthew 24, verse 3. Because these things must first happen before rapture.
Yes.
I'm trying to now address someone who says, but how will we know, Prophet K, that now the rapture is soon?
Yeah.
These things must first happen. Then when they happen, then Jesus says he'll come. This is Jesus himself, verse 3, okay? So in verse 1, in Matthew 24, verse 1 and 2, Jesus is talking about the desolation of the temple, that the temple will be in ruins and all of that. That's fine, guys. Let's go to verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age, meaning of the end times? How will we know we have arrived in the end times? And Prophet K, you are sitting here in front of us. How can you be so sure we are in the end times? This is why. Praise God. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Meaning it will be a time of deception.
Yes.
You see. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. Okay. Mm. Now, you may not know this, but in every continent, it's a joke on YouTube, but it's real. Every continent, there's someone, at least one person who claims to be Jesus. Every continent of the world, you know, Google it. It's you know, we take it as a joke. Like,
and because of social media, we know about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because these videos come up on your timeline and they trend. So now we know.
And the person says, I'm Jesus. And unfortunately, he has followers, right? Verse 6, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, there are already wars. I mean, you are aware of the Syria versus, you know, Israel. Although there's a ceasefire, Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, that Cold War going on. USA has joined, you know, has joined the fray. These are the wars and rumors of wars that are happening. Unfortunately, and I say this, I don't mean to offend anybody, we shouldn't be a church that only tomoys. We must tomoy and understand current affairs.
Sure. Yeah.
Because many people don't understand that these things are already happening. It's like it's a future event.
Yeah.
These things are already happening.
They are here.
Already transpiring. Yep. And unfortunately, so remember that the prophecy by Pa Elton says that South Africa will bring forth the last revival.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'll bring forth the last revival. And what Satan has done is that he has gone ahead and made South Africa be enmity with God by attacking Israel. What do I mean? Now, in the world is divided by sects, not physical or geographical division, but there is the US and NATO. NATO has European countries, the US being their captain and so forth. Then the other part of the world is what is called BRICS. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is the Brazil, Russia, India, Spain, you know, and so forth. And, and China. China is there as well. And South Africa. And the Arabs have also joined BRICS, right? Mm. So we are, so under NATO is the US, and US is almost the big brother of Israel. Under BRICS is Russia, China, Syria. So literally the world is already divided, right? There are these two big organizations at loggerheads. So what has happened under BRICS is that South Africa has gone to, you know, the International Court of Justice, took Israel to court, right? Now, Israel, you know, they're committing various atrocities. What they are doing in Gaza is not good at all. And I don't mean to be political. It's bad.
Sure.
Yet, nonetheless, God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. I'll curse those who curse Israel.
Mm.
So now we have gone out and said we are standing against Israel, the people of God.
Sure.
And now God is in a limbo where he wants to bring forth the great revival. But how can he use South Africa, the people who have stood against his people?
Mm.
And some people have said, no, but it's not the same Israel in 1950 something. You know, it was a different ecosystem, different Israelites, and they've been bullies, bullying the Palestinians. And maybe they have, you know, I really believe Israel is not innocent here. But I'm saying nonetheless, it's the same principle where Saul was so demonic. Saul was blood hungry, killing people after King David. But when David had the chance, he said, touch not the anointed of God.
Yes.
I can't kill Saul. Although he's bad. Although he's bad, he's killing people. This is Israel right now, killing people. You're so bad. But I'm not the mouth that will condemn. Because God will condemn me. This is King David, a person after God's own heart. He understood spiritual protocol.
Sure.
That's why even if an elder commits an atrocity right now in the border of South Africa, we can't write on Facebook and say, hey, Baba Bani, you are doing... We can't. It's spiritual protocol.
Sure.
He's bad, but there's a discipline the Lord will bring.
There's an order.
Not you, you see. So we've gone, we've violated spiritual protocol. We've taken them to court. We've spoken against them.
I need to breathe.
I'm sorry. So we have put ourselves in enmity against God. Already the great revival should have broken forth, but now what must God do? Israel is the apple of his eye, but we are the ones that will bring forth the great revival from South Africa to the rest of the world. What must God do? Do you see the predicaments, the political predicaments we're in? But now back to Matthew 24, because this can
go on and on.
This can steal me. Just that political and governmental landscape, it's a very interesting subject. But anyways, so Jesus says, and you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. Then he says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. No, it's not yet. It's not now. There are rumors now of wars. There are actual wars. Not yet. Then verse 7, he says, these are things that must happen before he comes. Mm-hmm. For nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We are seeing that. I've told you about the NATO versus BRICS, the world divided and so forth. Mm-hmm. Then he says nation against nation, but he says kingdom against kingdom. Mm-hmm. So nation against nation is country against country.
Yes,
but kingdom against kingdom is the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness.
Yes.
You know that the same way the Lord has, you know, the offices of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 4, yeah. the apostle, prophet, teaching. Evangelist, pastor, yes. teacher.
Yeah.
Satan
yeah.
also has a demonic fivefold.
Yeah.
Sure. He also has a demonic fivefold. Although they are not called by these offices, but he has a demonic. For apostles, for instance, what is an apostle in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light? It's someone who's a sent one. The word apostle means a sent one, a messenger. Yeah. He's sent to you know, the apostles usually set trends.
Yes.
They speak, they set they order.
Fathers. Mm.
They are fathers. Mm. They have the grace to build and establish.
Yeah.
They are able to establish new things,
yes.
right? Satan has that. Political leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a guy called, he runs a Tesla. He's he's apostolic. He's a trendsetter. Do you know he tried to get everybody to buy electric cars at some point? You know, he has a spaceship, for instance. It's amazing. It's good. It's amazing,
innovative.
Right? But it's innovative, very innovative.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying the same way we have the apostolic, Satan also is the apostolic.
Yo.
So he's a voice. He's a billionaire. He's building spaceships. He's building cars that don't need engines and don't need petrol, as you imagine, you see.
Yeah.
Same way as we have prophets, there's the spirit of divination in the kingdom of darkness. And that's why,
sure.
so from the year 2020, as I said, Satan, remember, became bold from year 2000. From 2020 to 2024, he became bolder. That's why everybody on TV has beads, right?
Mm.
Everyone has beads. Everybody, even celebrities we love and honor, they are, you know, by a twice, are they going to rivers? They are saying they're sangomas now. Satan is intensifying boldness. In fact, I don't know if this is good or bad authority. Someone said it that in TV shows, apparently, there must be one, you know, homosexual character or at least a person who's a sangoma in day TV, right? So not day TV, I mean mainline TV, right?
Yeah.
The public broadcaster,
traditional
TV. So I'm not sure whether that's true or not. But having seen, I can almost see that. I can see that there's always someone homosexual, and this is global, or there's always someone with the spirits. Now in US, it's not sangoma, but it's a spiritualist. You see, they wear these, cloths, these robes here around.
Oh, the robes.
Yes, they believe in the universe and chakras, and you know, they do yoga and all these things, the universe. It's the equivalent of our sangomas here in South Africa. So as we have genuine prophets, authentic prophets, Satan has those
the
ones.
The same intensity.
Intensity. We have evangelists. Evangelists are known as this third finger that has the greatest reach. Evangelists reaches more so. Satan has influencers. Demonic influencers.
Sure.
Who can tell you, although you are so beautiful right now, those influencers can make you believe you are so fat. Because you are here, you've never been to Dubai, your life is so pathetic. They're in Dubai holding Birkin bags. So the same equivalent we have, Satan has. And I'm not saying all influencers are bad. I mean, come on, you know, everybody, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are those where Satan is using them. Some of them are unaware. They're just normal people living their life being glamorous. But they don't know Satan is using them to cause depression to
pushing
a young
agenda.
Girl. Yes, there's another agenda. You understand?
Ish.
So that's what Jesus says when he says kingdom against kingdom. All right? Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. You see? So when we see these things happening, which they're happening now, it's the beginning of sorrows. Things are about to be bad in the world. Okay? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. I mean, guys, look, we're in a missionary conference last year, and a man who was, I think, in Syria, my son there will remember, he said he's a missionary in Syria, and they are beheading people for being Christian. So it's already happening, just not in South Africa, just not in the mainline countries that we look up to. So we think it's not happening. People are already being beheaded. The church in China, in South Korea, in North Korea, these churches are being persecuted. So it's already happening, but it's going to spread throughout the earth. All right. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, verse 14, this is my emphasis. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. Until the gospel of the kingdom
is preached
in all of the world.
All, yes.
That is what we call the great revival. Until that great revival brings forth.
Taken place,
and it is preached. And the word preached there is to proclaim. It doesn't mean just holding a mic.
Mm-mm.
But it means even in what you are doing now, you are preaching. Right? People in various spheres of influence. Now at church, I always tell them that whichever sphere of influence you are planted in the seven mountains of influence, you need to proclaim his kingship.
Yes.
Right? Proclaim. And he says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached everywhere.
And it's not the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom.
Ah.
There are seven levels of the gospel. The gospel of salvation is the entry point, because that tells you, come to Jesus,
come
the message
Jesus,
of the cross.
Yeah.
Most important one of all, right?
Yeah.
But there are other gospels, the gospel of righteous living, the gospel of prosperity, the
of
gospel
holiness,
and so forth.
Yeah.
And then the last seventh gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And it is more potent because it encompasses all. So when Jesus says, preach the gospel of the kingdom, he's saying, don't just preach the gospel of salvation in abstract without telling people they have victory.
Mm.
Don't say, come to Jesus, go to heaven. No, tell them that they have victory. Don't just preach the gospel of prosperity.
Disciple them.
Don't just preach the gospel of prosperity saying, oh, come, receive. I receive, Papa. But you must preach the gospel of the king. But these things are happening.
You are so spicy.
I apologize. But these things are happening. They are unfolding.
Yeah.
So Jesus is saying, preach the gospel of the kingdom, which encompasses all seven levels of the gospel. Starting with the gospel of salvation, prosperity, righteousness. So literally preach the holistic gospel.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Everybody must know there's Jesus Christ. He saves by the cross. It starts with that. If that is not part of your message, we are deviating into heresy, right? Jesus Christ came, he died, but he rose. Thank God he rose.
Yes.
And not only did he rise, he ascended unto heaven. But after that, it's good. Now let's go to discipleship, righteousness, righteous living.
Yes.
Now prosperity. You don't have to live in poverty. You know, you've been made to reign. You know, the gospel of faith. You understand?
Now you have dominion.
Now you have dominion. So preach the gospel holistically. Jesus says, when this has been done in all of the earth. Now, as I said, I'm a missionary. I went to a village called Mudande in Malawi. And they had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, they hadn't. They don't even have schools, electricity, running water.
Oh.
We went to build a borehole. And of course, as the point was, as they're celebrating water, we say it's Jesus Christ. Put up your hands.
Yeah.
That's how we go with philanthropy first. It becomes the door. When people's hearts are open, we preach the gospel, healing, and all of that. But my point is, there are places in the earth that they have not heard it.
Sure.
So Jesus is not going to come, guys. He said,
a lot of work.
Yes, there's still a lot of work. There's so much work to be done. You know, it's the season of the end times, meaning it's the season of the kingdom of God, meaning the church must now become the bigger brother of the whole world.
Yes.
Times are about to be difficult. You heard what Jesus said there. Is it in verse 7? That the time of tribulation is the beginning of sorrows and a time of tribulation. So things will go bad in the world. But what God has purposed is that the church rises. As things go down in the world, the church goes up. So that we fulfill Micah chapter 4, verse 1, that says, and it shall come to pass in the end times, in the latter days. And the latter days is the Hebrew word achar, not last days, but it means end days. So in the end times, which is the season we're in, he says the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above the hills. What are those hills? It's the seven mountains of influence, economy, government, media, and all, you know, different systems of society. The house of God shall be exalted above the hills, and all people will flow to it. Why? Not because they'll just be singing, we want to go to church. No, they'll be forced, because there's a time where there won't be medication in the hospital. And so people are dying, and they must come to us, and we say, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And they are healed. Pick up your meds and go. You don't have medical aid. Don't worry. Come to us. You will be healed. You have depression. The psychiatric clinics will be closed. There won't be therapies. Things are going to go very bad in the world. But you will come to the church, and you will, that depression will lift off. Hallelujah. And you will jump in joy, and you will receive peace. So this is what Micah chapter 4, verse 1 to 4 says. And that scripture in Micah is so important, because that prophetic word is not only in Micah, it's also in Isaiah, chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, from verse 14.
Yeah.
So God, this scripture was so important, speaking about the end times, that he told two different prophets at two different times. It's the same words, if you look at it. Study it at home, right?
It's a confirmation.
It's a confirmation. Two stands for witness, for confirmation. So this is what should be happening in these end times. We should not be getting on podcasts and arguing whether Jesus is coming or not in September. We should not be living as a church that's in confusion. We should be ascending on the church. We should be lifting in economy, in government. Don't let somebody say, no mangi goga, ama niki niki. No, we don't wear niki nigis. We dress well. The Bible in Revelation, listen, when John saw Jesus in Revelation, He says Jesus was wearing white linen.
Come on.
In heaven, Jesus, yeah. When John sees Jesus, he says sure. Jesus was wearing white linen.
Sure.
That's drip, guys.
Yeah.
So listen. This thing, which world is going to come? Which president is going to come and say, please, Millicent, I'm confused. Are you Millicent?
Yeah.
Which government is going to come and say, please, I'm the president of US, Millicent.
Sure.
Please tell me, what should I do? And you are wearing niggy niggies.
Mm. Yeah. Then.
Which one?
Sure.
Stop wearing niggy niggies. There's no time for niggy niggies. Drive a nice car. Be beautiful. Be presentable. Remember, we are waiting for presidents to come to us for solutions.
Sure.
That's
and
what
the
it
government
means.
Shall be
and
upon his shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was on Jesus' shoulder. Remember, it was not on his head. He's the head and we are
yeah.
his body.
Yes.
So the government is on us. We are on his shoulders, which is the body of Christ. So the government, they're already starting. I got a great offer, by the way, which I don't know if I can speak about it, but where something about South African Parliament approached me for something, right? This is what the Lord is waiting for in this season, that we are approached by governments, we are approached by the Reserve Bank and say, you know, the economy is going down, but we've heard that you as a church, you understand the times and you know what to do.
Come on.
We are here to bow to you. Please, what should we do? And then you say, don't worry, thus saith the Lord. This is what we should be doing in these end times. And that's the preaching of the kingdom.
That's
the preaching of the kingdom. That's the going out preaching, traveling. We've traveled so many countries, you know. This is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And when that is done, Jesus says, and then the end will come.
Yo,
I've said a mouthful. Are there any questions before I wrap up with a few more scriptures?
Sure. You did say a mouthful. And I think maybe just to get to the part where we're speaking about the word of God needs to get all over, you know. The Bible says, Uguti, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few.
That's right.
Yeah. And let's talk about those workers. And, you know, the Bible also says we'll know them by their fruit. It's a popular one on our podcast because people now are so vulnerable that they hear anything and everything from everybody who claims to be, you know, a child of God. Who is appointed for the nations? Who is ought to go to all the corners of the world preaching this gospel?
Every believer.
Yeah.
So you may not go geographically to US, but in your sphere of influence, wherever you are, you need to be. Yes.
Yeah.
If you're a teacher in a school, for instance, I know there's a law that says you can't be, you know, praying
religious,
with the children in assembly.
Yes.
Pray with them nonetheless. Life is too short. Pray with them. Teach them. You see, call the parents and say, sorry, I'm the parent of grade 8, class C, 8C. Can I pray for these children? More often they'll say yes. And those who say yes, pray for those children. So whichever sphere you're in, for instance, I'll make an example. In 2018, I believe, I went to London, right? We were going with my employer at the time, my former employer, and we were raising, I think we were raising about 1.3 billion. We needed to start up a mine in Botswana. Right. At that time, I was 20. Oh, no, I almost said my age. But I was young. Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember getting into that boardroom. It was full of white men, Caucasian men. And my boss said, okay, Miss Zungu is the one that will give us the presentation. So they thought I was his secretary. So they were expecting him to speak. Then he said, no, Miss Zungu is our executive head of legal. She will give the presentation. I saw one of the men who was sitting like opposite me, literally shake his head and close his diary as though you guys are here to waste our time. Right. But I gave a presentation. Now, I wasn't preaching Jesus.
Hey.
I was giving a presentation how they'll make money and why they should. These are the terms and conditions. These are the legalese we need to look at, or the legals rather, we need to look at. I wasn't preaching Jesus, but I preached with such excellence. We came back with the money. But I'm not, by the way, it's not mine. Please don't call me and ask for a loan. Shame, it all went to the mic. It was not mine. But the point is, I remember after that meeting, that same white man said, wow, there's something about you. Did you go to Harvard? And he could experience the anointing, but he didn't have utterance for it. He didn't have words.
He didn't know what it is.
So he thought it's the schools. He said, did you go to Harvard Law School?
There's something about you.
There's something. Hey. And I said, no, I went to University of KwaZulu-Natal. You see, he didn't have words to articulate the anointing because he wasn't interested. He didn't know. But he said, there's something about you. There's a light. That's what I mean when I say each believer must preach wherever you are.
Wow.
Don't be average. Remember, the church is the head of the entire world.
You see, don't be average. Whatever you do, you better excel. You better excel. You better be the greatest. Mm-hmm. If you are a cleaner in a hospital, you are watching me. In fact, I see a lady wearing navy watching this, and she's cleaning in the hospital room. Even if you're a cleaner in that hospital, even if you're you better clean so excellently, and they say there's something about you.
Yeah.
Joseph was in a prison. How can you excel being a prisoner?
Yeah.
But he excelled so much that they put him in charge of other prisoners. He was in Potiphar house as a slave, but he excelled so much they had to put him in charge of the slaves. Come on, whichever level you are in, you better excel, because you are the head, you are the church, you are the headship of the world. When Christ ascended, he left his body here, but we are the body to Christ, but to the world we are the head, because we are Christ's representative. So that means believers ought to dominate with the light of the earth, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. How can you be a city on a hill but be hidden? It can't be. So every believer, rise up. You won't be deceived by people who are charlatans, who say, no, I've heard the Lord and the Lord is, I'm so called. But some of them, you know, are doing really bad things on the side. You don't have to be deceived, because you know the times. Remember, you understand what to do, and everyone's at your command in your sphere of influence. But it starts with biblical literacy. It starts with biblical literacy. In Daniel, let me try wrap up with this. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Okay, now in Daniel chapter 12, maybe I'll read from verse 1 to 4. Daniel is talking about the end times. If you open your Bible in Daniel chapter 12, the heading there is the vision concerning the end times, meaning these days. This is what Daniel is saying concerning these days. Daniel chapter 12, from verse 1. At that time, so if you look there, it should be in every Bible, prophecy of the end time. So it's telling us about this time we're in, right? At the time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Once again, here it is. There will be perilous times. But then God, the church, will rise. So the trouble for the world, yes, we will be, you know, we will be trialed and tested as well. However, we'll be the solution, okay? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time, your people, meaning God's people, shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. That's the book of life. So we shall be delivered as the church. And many of those who sleep, this is now the rapture, in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Those who are wise are those, the Bible says, those who are wise are those who bring souls to the Lord. That's us, the church. It says we will shine bright like the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. So at this time of tribulation, which the church will experience as well, right? I don't believe we'll be part of the great tribulation.
So wait, so So there's the tribulation and then there's a great tribulation. So where does rapture happen there?
This is what I believe. Now, whenever you teach this subject, teach it with humility. Because the Bible doesn't say, there isn't a verse that says, teach it with humility. The Bible, it's in Ecclesiastes 3, is it 11 or 5:11, where it says, no one can know the work that God does from beginning to end. If you approach this with humility, it's God. We can't know everything. So if somebody says, but there's a verse, it says, and there shall be the tribulation, pause, rapture, then pause. No. We are taking different prophecies from Old, New Testament, and what Jesus say, compiling it, and now we have a roadmap. So to your question, I believe the church will be part of the tribulation, because Jesus says so in Matthew 24.
The seven-year tribulation?
So the tribulation, not the great tribulation.
Okay.
Remember, the tribulation is 3.5 years. The great tribulation is another 3.5. I believe the tribulation is going to come. By the way, when the scripture here says there will be troubles, it's not necessarily about the tribulation. The tribulation is clear in Revelation. Literally, we will be forced to take the 666.
Yes.
The tribulation has specific
things. But troubles are here already.
But troubles are here. That's what I'm saying. So when
so that doesn't mean you're in tribulation.
No,
so
it doesn't.
Exactly.
Correct. So it doesn't. This is where the church is. It's the glory season. It's the season of God's glory. It's the glory season for the church. There's trouble in the world, but there is glory for the church.
Amen.
There is a time where we're going to enter the tribulation, where things will be very tough.
Yes.
I don't know whether we'll be alive or not. Again, no one knows the days and hour. But from looking at Jesus' list, things are happening quickly, so probably we may be alive. And then rapture will come. All right. But this is putting together scripture. Again, there isn't one verse that says this is the timeline of world events. So teach it with humility. So should I show you where Jesus says there'll be tribulation? Or must I continue, Daniel?
No, continue.
Okay, let me continue.
Yeah. Daniel, yeah.
All right. So, but it says in verse 3. So, I just want you, as you are there at home with your Bible, you see that it says that it will be a terrible time, tough time, but it says we will shine like the brightness of the firmament, meaning we will be glorious as the church.
Yes.
Okay. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Okay. Now, I know we know the scripture a lot in Daniel 12:4, that in the end times, knowledge shall increase.
Yeah.
It has increased, guys. We see AI and all of that.
Look at the technology.
Look at the technology, right?
Yeah.
We are in the brink. Is it the fourth, industrial revolution? So there's been an increase of knowledge.
Yes.
But this verse intrigues me and it changed my life. It says, first, Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book until the time of the end. That's part one. Mm-hmm. Then two, there shall be an increase of knowledge. Why does God first say, Daniel, shut up these words and seal them in a book? It means there's a knowledge that we will need in this season.
That's in that book.
Yes. And God said, Daniel, don't speak it now because the people don't need
Hold it.
That means there's a there's a scroll for the church. That was God told the prophet to seal it. It will only be unleashed at the time of the end.
At the right time.
To combat this knowledge, he says, will increase.
Yes.
So as there's an increase of worldly knowledge,
don't worry,
God's got our back.
Yes. Yes.
There's an increase in our knowledge as well. It's in a scroll in heaven. What I'm speaking
to
match the times.
Yeah.
If it was in the Bible, maybe we would have misinterpreted it. We wouldn't have, you see. So there's a body of knowledge that's in a scroll in heaven. And the Lord is waiting for believers, young men and women, old men and women. By the way, whether you're young and old, both of you, must pray. You must seek the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this because remember, Jesus went to Peter and Andrew when they were done with their nets to say, follow me.
Yes.
But when he goes to John and John and James, they were about to start their fishing expedition. So one said he takes them towards the end of their journey. This one's at the beginning.
Yes.
Jesus says, old and young, come follow me. So that's why I'm saying God is waiting for young men and women, old men and women, believers, who are going to pray until the seal of the scroll breaks and they read what's there. And that's the information that's going to take the world. These things I'm speaking to you, it's part of the scroll. I don't have full visibility. The Lord is helping me myself. But he is waiting for young men and women who are going to ascend and say, Lord, you brought me here for an errand. I am ready. Tell me, what are you saying? As you fast and pray, as you seek the Lord will unveil this revelation, you see, because there's a body of revelation the Lord kept for the church. Mm. So that when there's an increase of demonic knowledge and Satan thinks, I've defeated the church, look at all this knowledge.
Hey.
We will also
rise
up a standard, you see. So this is my closing point. This is what I want to say. As a believer, you cannot be in confusion. You should be the solution bringer. You should be the one that nations come to, governments come to, you see. Captains of industry, captains of economy come to you. Captains of media say, no, send twins. Tell us, we've been trying to sell newspapers.
They're
not selling.
Now.
We've been trying what must we do?
Hey.
And you need to say, that said the Lord.
Yay.
This is what you need to do. You need to advise governments, media houses. You need to advise. This is the preaching of the gospel. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, that when this gospel of the kingdom is preached as a witness to all nations, then the end will come. So, Iman Goguta, how Jesus and beg, where is he? Where is he? Is he coming? Stop. There's a kingdom that must be enthroned. There's a kingdom of God that must be enforced. And you are the frontline soldier, not your pastor. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness.
Sure.
Yet Noah never had a church, never had a mic.
Yes. Mm.
So you are the preacher of the gospel.
No
title. You are the preacher. That's why I'm saying whether you're a cleaner, whether you're a cop, a security, whether you're a beautiful presenter, whether you're an influencer, whatever you are, whichever sphere of influence you are
dominate
in, it is the season to dominate. It's the season for God's kingdom. To be enthroned. And when his kingdom has been enthroned in all the world, that is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Then the end will come. Amen.
Hey, yo. So which mic do we drop now? Because there's three mics. Because, wow, I was not ready for that.
Yeah, no, and this is why we always say that the winds of the end times, once you get into this, I mean, your mind is just... it erases because it's can't just be the so same much. You can't be this. The same. And for me, like, again, this proves to me that we are in those last days. You know, we are in those. Although people, it's urgent, but it's urgent because there's still a lot of work to be done.
It requires work, yeah.
It requires work. Thank you so much for breaking that down for us.
Amen.
I wanted to say briefly, but that was not so brief. I definitely think we will need a part two because, you know, there's nothing better than hearing the word of God because it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Yeah. And for me, it just brings so much clarity. It brings joy to my soul and my spirit. It's like I can just hear it over and over again. And as a child of God, these are the things that needs to make the baby leap inside of you because this is who we are. This is our day-to-day bread. This is the bread of life. So if this doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. But this for me was like, oh, one of my best.
Yeah, I hope that your questions are answered. If not, please list them on the comment section below so that Prophet K can come back and address them. So make sure you flood the comment section and let us know what are your questions, what are your comments. And again, you know, we always open this up, right? Please, if you disagree on something, you can say it. It's fine. Say it. Tell us. Let's have a conversation. The Bible is so big. It's so enough. It's still relevant. Was relevant. Still relevant. Will still be relevant. We'll go into the scripture and discuss whatever concerns you have. Also, if you want to send us an email, the email address is down below. Let us know what your thoughts are. And I think, we ended on a good note.
On a high, right?
Yeah.
Exactly what we expected. Nothing less, but everything more. Thank you so much, Santham, for watching from myself, Innocent.
And myself, Millicent. And of course, a prophet, Kanye. And of course, the lady that sent the email, I sent fam, you are the one.
Shout out to
it
you.
Is.
Bye for now.
Amen.
I've been through the most, been through the most.